Doctor Who, Pop Factor by James D. Quinton, read by Russ Gold.
Across windswept 17th century ploughed fields, a small group of people made their way towards the welcoming lights radiating from the village ahead of them. In the center of the community, the denizens gathered into the stone-built church, paying for entrance on the door. Inside, a small makeshift stage had been built in front of the pulpit and altar. The church was overflowing, and excited voices feverishly discussed the forthcoming event. "Ladies and gentlemen," boomed a male voice from offstage. The audience's excitement grew, and they began to clap and cheer. "Please welcome," shouted the amplified voice of the now raucous crowd, "Edward Vincent!" The cheering and applause increased to a deafening level as a clean-shaven young man, with dark hair swept back, wearing tight petticoat breeches and an equally tight tunic, walked onto the stage. Slung around his neck was a six-stringed acoustic guitar. As he reached the center of the stage, a microphone descended from the ceiling. "Thank you so much," muttered Edward Vincent. This was called Bebopalula. As he began strumming the guitar and moving to the music, his voice filled the building. Looking out from the vestry of the church, they smiled in amusement as he watched his usually sedate parishioners lose themselves to the unfamiliar sound.
"Quite remarkable," he commented. "Quite remarkable."
"Yes, isn't it?"
came the reply from the brown, habit-wearing character behind him.
"And this minstrel plays, what do you call it?"
Rock and roll.
"Rock and roll?"
"Yes, quite lively, don't you think?"
"Indeed, well, whatever it's called, if it's an aid of funding a new monastery, then it's in a worthwhile cause," said the priest, smiling.
"Yes," nodded the monk, checking the time on his digital watch. "And have you got the money?" he added.
"He's here, all right,"
said the doctor, striding into the deserted village.
"Are you sure it's the monk?"
asked Alice. "Of course," replied the doctor, pointing to his head. "I can tell."
"Special powers, hey, Doc?"
giggled Chand. "Something like that," counted the doctor.
"What's going on here?"
asked Alice.
"There's no one about."
"There seems to be a lot of noise coming from over there."
"Behind those houses," said Chand.
The trio walked past the houses and saw the church. A sign read, "Edward Vincent, one night only." The doctor, Chand, and Alice glanced at each other.
"This sign is written using a black marker pen, and it's been laminated."
"Yep, we found him," said the doctor as cheers and applause erupted from inside the church.
"What's he up to?"
asked Chand.
"Shall we find out?"
Chand and Alice followed the doctor, who walked up the church door and pushed it open. From the back of the church, the doctor, Alice, and Chand watched a young man on stage work his way through a selection of rock and roll standards. Alice found herself swaying to the music, and she noticed Chand tapping his feet. The doctor stood motionless, almost in shock at what he was seeing.
"Seems like the monk has invented rock and roll a few hundred years early," said the doctor finally. "Yeah, but he is good, isn't he?" smiled Alice.
"Are you talking about the music, or him?" asked Chand.
Alice blushed. The doctor sighed.
"Are you okay?" asked Chand.
"Meddling, you see, meddling."
"Oh, there's no harm, doctor," came a voice from behind the trio.
They turned to see a monk. The monk. But his features were completely different. Gone was the old craggy face and graying hair, to be replaced by a more youthful 40-something face, with short dark hair and brown eyes.
"Oh, do you like the new physiognomy?" he asked.
"You've changed your face, but not your clothes," remarked the doctor.
"Regeneration,"
cooed Alice.
"Yes," said the doctor, harshly.
"I should be upset with you," said the monk, wagging his finger at the doctor, "leaving me to die on that unforgiving world."
"Ha," laughed the doctor, "have you nearly had us killed?"
"Oh, well," said the monk, giving a big smile, hitching up his habit and moving around them to watch Edward on stage. "It's all the past now." "Well, future. Oh, you know what I mean. And I forgive you, doctor. You got my TARDIS working again. And here I am."
"Yes, here you are, meddling."
"Meddling? Entertaining, you mean.
And who is that young man?" asked the doctor.
"Hmm," added Alice, gazing at the guy on stage.
"Yeah, who is he?"
"My companion," replied the monk, crossing his arms. "Go on." "A failed pop star from the 1950s.
"I can't believe you," groaned the doctor.
"I've made him a star," protested the monk. "You should see the bookings I've got. He's got the looks and voice, and I've got the songs."
"Songs?"
"Yes," said the monk. "I've many hidden talents." "Well, what say you show us these songs?" asked the doctor.
"Very well, very well. Come through to the vestry."
"I'll stay here," said Alice, as the doctor and Chan began to follow the monk. "Alice!" called the doctor.
"Oh, okay," she huffed.
Inside the vestry, the doctor flicked through all the monk's possessions. "And you've written all these songs, have you?"
Yes.
"There must be the entire Beatles back catalogue here."
"Just think of the future royalties, Doctor."
"Ridiculous," huffed the doctor.
"Ah, you're just jealous. You didn't think of it first," scoffed the monk. "I'm the Simon Cowell of the 17th century. In fact, I might take that name."
The doctor shook his head in frustration.
"And you can't stop me, Doctor. The people love Eddie."
Okay, I'll do you a deal."
"A deal?
A deal?" repeated Chand.
"A deal," said Alice. "Yes, a deal."
"What do you have in mind?"
"We'll let the people decide," replied the doctor with a grin on his face.
"Pardon?"
"A competition. If my singers beat your Eddie, then you end it and go."
"And if we win?"
"Then," the doctor paused, considering what he was suggesting, "you win."
"Deal!"
cried the monk, slapping his hands together in delight, then grabbing the doctor's hand and shaking it.
"It took a while, Doctor,
but I think you've finally come around to my way of seeing things.
Think of all the fun we could have, the whole cosmos to enjoy."
"Not sure about that, my friend," said the doctor, bewildered by the monk's excitement.
"Just like when we were younger at the academy. Remember the tricks we used to play on old Barusa?"
The monk laughed, and he put his arm around the doctor and led him out into the church, where Eddie was still performing.
"So what shall we call this competition?" asked the monk.
"How about Pop Factor?" suggested Alice.
"Very clever," muttered Chand.
"We could probably charge extra on the door,"
exclaimed the monk. "No," replied the doctor. "This will be a free event."
"Oh," sighed the monk. "Well, I hope you'll be able to join me for a drink tonight, Doctor. And your companions, of course."
"Yes, why not? About 7.
"Fine. See you later."
"But who are you going to get to sing for you? And you'd better not be thinking me," Alice said in one breath, eyeing up the doctor's reaction, which was to give her a broad smile.
"Oh, no," Alice moaned, "but I can't sing."
"You can," interrupted Chand. "I've heard you in the shower plenty of times."
"You have you?"
You know, just in passing."
"Pass by a lot when I'm showering, do you?" she asked, placing her hands on her hips.
So, Doctor, you said singers, as in more than one?"
"Yes, I think you two will make an excellent duo, you know," stated the doctor as Chand held his head in his hands. "Really, I do. Think Ike and Tina, Sonny and Cher, Robson and Jerome, Bean and Mog."
"Bean and Mog?" questioned Alice. "Don't you get Altudo TV on your Freeview box?" asked the doctor.
"No," they both replied.
"Shame, they were really good." "So you want us to sing as a duo?"
"Yes, please, Alice. I know you two can do it." Chan sighed.
"Well, I've always been destined for stardom."
"What are we going to sing?" asked a less than enthusiastic Alice.
"I thought Please Please Me by the Beatles. I can teach one of you the guitar chords. Very simple."
"Okay, Doc," said Chan, "but I don't think we're going to win."
That evening, the monk met them at the church door, and they made their way through to the vestry. Inside, the monk pulled out the cork from a large glass bottle and emptied the green wine equally into the three goblets.
"Here we are, Doctor. Alice, Chand, bottoms up."
"Thanks," said Chand, necking the drink.
"Nice! I'll have another."
"Here, have mine. I've never been much of a drinker," said Alice, handing him the goblet.
"So where's Eddie?" asked the doctor.
"He's in the shower."
"Shower?" cooed Alice. "Calm down, Al," remarked Chad, necking Alice's drink.
"Don't call me Al."
"Where's your TARDIS?" asked the doctor.
"There," said the monk, pointing at the door.
"Doesn't that go outside?"
asked Chad, burping as the monk handed him another drink.
"No," said the monk. The door swung open, and Eddie walked through from the TARDIS console room, wearing just a towel around his waist. Alice's eye lit up.
"Hey,"
said Eddie as he ruffled his thick black hair with a towel, sending beads of water dripping down his taut torso.
"Hey,"
swooned Alice. "Hello, Edward," said the doctor, stepping forward to shake Eddie's hand.
"Hi," he replied as they shook. "So you're time travelers too?"
"We are," said Chand.
"Some life, huh? Back home I was no one, but here I've finally made it. Fame, money, and,
"Women,"
said Alice, interrupting Eddie's gushing flow. "You bet," he said, giving her a look, at which she turned crimson.
"Right," coughed the doctor. "Is he treating you well?"
"Of course I am. What a question," replied the monk.
And with that, an awkward silence descended upon the room.
"Have you got any more?"
asked Chand as he finished his third glass.
The low hum of the TARDIS now sounded like Big Ben constantly chiming. Chan shuffled into the TARDIS console room where the Doctor and Alice were practicing the guitar.
"Morning, well, afternoon," beamed the Doctor.
"You okay?" asked Alice.
"My head."
"Too much wine," replied Alice, shaking her head. "The monk did seem rather keen to get us drunk," said the Doctor, walking over to Chan and scanning him with his sonic screwdriver.
"That's odd."
"What?"
moaned Chan. "A high concentration of Alumistia."
"What's that?"
questioned Alice.
"A nasty little drug that induces severe migraines, rather crippling, in fact."
"That sounds about right," sighed Chan, setting down.
"Actually, think about it. He was trying to ply us with drink all night," said Alice. "Maybe he spiked the wine?"
"Yes, probably, to increase his chances of winning," said the Doctor.
"To take out the competition."
"Yeah, there's no way I'm singing anything."
"Me and you then, Alice," said the Doctor, picking up the guitar.
The church was packed. There wasn't a single space left. The priest walked onto the stage to hysterical screams as he cautiously approached the microphone.
"Hello,"
he whispered, amazed that his voice was instantly transported around the building. The crowd erupted and started shouting for Edward. The monk gave the Doctor a confident smile.
"Tonight," said the priest, "we have two acts, and you must decide the winner."
The crowd cheered.
"First we have, and you saw him yesterday, rock and roller Eddie Vincent."
Again the crowd screamed. Eddie, guitar strapped around his back, and strolled on stage.
"Oh, he is good," said Alice, watching his every move.
"We should go get our outfits on," said the Doctor.
"Yeah, okay," sighed Alice. "I bet Chand wishes he was here to see us squeezed into tight leather gear."
"I'm sure he'd like to see you in it."
"Doctor?"
"Well," said the Doctor, a little embarrassed at his comment. "Come on."
Out on stage, Eddie started to plow through Bill Haley's Rock Around the Clock.
The monk stood with the rather bemused priest, jiving to the music.
"Are we on yet?"
asked Alice, appearing with the Doctor at the monk's side. They were both now wearing skin-tight leather trousers and leather jackets.
"Oh," said the monk, "you've made the effort, have you?"
"Of course," replied the Doctor. "Never do anything by halves."
Eddie finished his number to rapturous applause.
"Beat that, then, Doctor. They love Edward, you see."
The priest walked back on stage.
"Thank you. Now the second act performing a song called Please Please Me, they are the Time Travellers."
"Good luck, Doctor," said the monk sarcastically.
The Doctor gave him a wink, and he and Alice walked out onto the stage to not quite the same response that had met Eddie.
"Hello," said the Doctor to the microphone.
"Hello," shouted back someone in the audience.
"Thanks," replied the Doctor. "Ready, Miss Morgan?" Alice nodded and nervously moved forward to the microphone. The Doctor started playing, and they both started singing. Slowly, the audience started to move, and they started clapping, then cheering, and screaming. The Doctor and Alice glanced at each other as they performed. It was going well. The audience seemed to really enjoy the song. The Doctor prompted them to start singing the chorus. The monk stood disgruntled beside the stage. It was going better for the Doctor than he thought. If only they'd drunk his drugged wine. The Doctor and Alice finished the number to huge applause. The priest walked onto the stage, followed by Hetty and the monk, who gave the Doctor a derisive glance.
Now, he began. Thank you, please be calm. I'm glad you enjoyed the songs. Now it's time to vote. Whom did you enjoy the most, Eddie?"
The crowd started clapping. "For the Time Travellers." The crowd exploded, whooping and cheering.
"We did it," cried Alice, giving the Doctor a hug.
The Doctor smiled and turned to the monk.
"A deal is a deal," he said.
The monk began to back off.
"Don't you dare." "He's going to give it legs," replied Alice.
"Give it legs?"
"Yeah, like on cop shows when criminals run away."
"Oh, okay, yep, you're right." The monk turned and ran off stage. He ran through the vestry and opened the door to the TARDIS, which swung shut just as the Doctor and Alice reached the room.
"Monk!"
cried the Doctor as the door faded from sight.
"Poor Eddie," sighed Alice.
The Doctor gave her a quizzical look.
"What?" said Eddie, appearing at a doorway.
"Edwards," the Doctor, "I'm afraid the monk is gone."
"Gone?
He's left me?"
"I'm afraid so," began Alice, "but he can stay with us, right, Doctor?"
"No, I've had three companions in there before. Trust me, it doesn't work."
"But..."
"No buts, Alice. Eddie, I can take you home." Eddie looked downhearted and stared down at the stone floor.
"Well, we can have some fun before you get home," said Alice, comforting him.
"Okay, only if you keep that suit on," Eddie replied, smiling.
Alice grinned.
"Doctor, what about the timeline? You know, interference?"
"No one will remember," the Doctor assured Alice. "It's not been recorded, has it?"
"Hmm," he muttered.
"Maybe in scripture, but then who's to say John Lennon didn't get his inspiration from 17th century texts?" "What about Eddie?" she whispered in the Doctor's ear. "He knows those songs."
"Eddie won't get the chance, I'm afraid," replied the Doctor.
"What do you mean?"
"He's got cancer. Picked it up in my sonic."
"Oh, no."
"Don't be sad. We can at least give him a trip of a lifetime."
Alice smiled, nodded her head, turned to Eddie, and linked her arm through his.
"Blasted doctor!" sobbed the monk as he set the controls of his TARDIS. "Still, at least I got away, though I suppose he won a game."
Then in front of the monk, from out of nowhere, a bright white, light rectangular doorway opened up in front of him.
"Transdimensional gateway," the monk said in astonishment under his breath. "But how?"
A figure stepped through it, and it closed the same way it had appeared. The figure was dressed from head to toe in a cloth which seemed to be wrapped around it, much like an Egyptian mummy's bandages. It was wearing a pair of knee-high brown boots, and with both hands, it was holding a weapon.
"Your TARDIS is mine," it spoke in a cold metallic tone.
The monk didn't reply, but backed up.
"Who are you?" "A bounty hunter."
"Hunting what?"
"Time Lords."
The figure fired its weapon. The monk was surrounded by a bright purple light. Slowly, his body disintegrated as the light folded in on itself. In less than 5 seconds, the monk was gone. The figure pulled back the glove on its left arm and pressed a button on an electronic strap around its wrist.
"I have eliminated the one known as the monk."
A distant, scratchy, deep voice replied,
"And now you have a TARDIS to hunt the doctor."